turn me down here a little bit.
Once you find your place, you're willing and able.
Stand with me for reading of the Word of God. Psalms 90. Amen. Psalms 90. Amen. And the Lord, Psalms 90, verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of man. Our grace and Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today, dear Lord. Father, we're thankful for the wonderful singing that we heard here today, dear Lord. Father, in the honor of the mothers, Father God, is here today. Father, we pray, dear Lord, that you'll just touch the reading and the preaching of thy word, Father God, Lord. If there'll be one here that's lost, Father, we ask, dear Lord, that you'll send the old Holy Ghost to where they're sitting in their seats, Father, and put them under old Holy Ghost conviction, dear Lord. Father, maybe there's one in the midst, Father, that's lost and that's backslidden, Father, and needs to return to you, dear Lord, Father. Ask, Lord, you send the Holy Ghost to where they're sitting at to put them under conviction, dear Lord, to return to the straight and the narrow way, Father God, Lord. And Father, we ask, Lord, there be no hindrance here for the next few minutes, Father God, as I bring the message that you've laid upon my heart, Father. We love you and we'll praise you. We care for you. The praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. This psalm is called a prayer of Moses. It's a psalm to where Moses is telling the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy that his time of passing is coming. He's telling them it won't be long that I'm going to pass away, but I want you to know there's a dwelling place for you to go. When I'm gone, when life is done, there's a dwelling place for you to go. We was talking, and I got my confirmation when I heard the words, some mothers may not be here anymore. A mother always wanted to lead you to a home place. She always wanted you to know you had a home to go to. I'm 31 years old, and my mom and daddy can attest this in the back. If I ever needed a place to live, I know where home is at. If I ever fell on hard times, I know where home is at. But I got a home that's greater than
Amen.
That.
Amen.
I got a dwelling place that I can go to. Amen. In the hardest times of life, I have a place that I don't have to move across the street to go to. I have a place so I don't have to move across the country and to go to. I have a place that I can go to by closing my eyes wherever I'm at. And I'll find the resting place that I'm looking for. And I'll find that dwelling place that only the Lord can give unto me. Can I tell you what? This home that I'm speaking of this morning is a home with a place of love. Amen. Let me tell you, I'm talking about it's a spiritual view of a family. God here is telling you that He loves you more than He's ever loved. He loves you so much He sent Jesus to die for you. And mothers, as you sit here today, if you don't have Jesus in your home, you do not have a true home. Amen. You need to put Jesus dead in the center of your home and teach your kids and teach your family how much God loves them. Amen. A lot of people don't understand. They say it's the dad's job. Well, the dad is the spiritual leader of the home. But if the mother neglects to tell the children of Jesus, is their love truly in the home? I'm talking about it's just a life. It's a place of love. This dwelling place that I go unto to is not just a regular place. It's a place where God says that He committed His love towards me when I was a sinner that Christ died for me.
That's right.
It's a place to where when I feel that nobody in this world cares about me, when I feel like nobody in this world loves me, when I feel like I'm standing alone, it's a home I go to and find that love still grows. You know, in this spiritual life that we run, this spiritual race that we run, you're going to find yourself at times feeling alone. You're going to feel at times that As Paul said, all men have forsaken me, and not one stood with me. But in home, you'll find love so sweet. You'll find honey in the rock.
That's right.
You'll find water in the stone.
That's right.
You'll find some of the greatest things you'll ever find when you walk into the home that is God.
Amen.
He said that He was a dwelling place in all generations. He just didn't become a place of dwelling yesterday. He became a place of dwelling when He created Adam. And blew life into his nostrils. He loved man so much that He gave us a living soul.
Amen.
Today you have a living soul on the inside of you that's bound for either one of two places. The one place is a home of love. A place to where it never gets night. The sun always shines.
Amen.
It's a place where saints are from the old age, from generation to generation, are dwelling. It's a place called heaven. The other place is a place of utter darkness, where there's wailing and gashing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place called hell. And it's a real place.
That's right. Amen.
It's a place where the sun never shines.
That's right.
It's a place to where you hear whining and crying and yelling beyond our imaginations. It's a place to where no mother wants you to go.
That's right.
It's a place where no dad wants you to go. And it's a place that the Heavenly Father has given you a way out of.
That's right.
Amen.
And that way was brought to you by love. God sent Jesus Christ to die for you. The Bible says that a man must be born again. And John 3:3, Nicodemus asking, what must I do to be born again? And Jesus Christ says that at the end of the kingdom of God, you must be born again.
Amen.
He went on to tell him a little while later that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He went on to tell them that this place that I'm offering you is a place of love. But it's also a place of shelter. You know, growing up, I remember there was times to where the storms would roll up. And we grew up on a farm, so we ran around a lot in the rain. We didn't pay attention to the thunder and the lightning, did we, Chris? But that didn't bother us at all. We country kids, that's what we are. We grew up in the country. A lot of us still live in the country. I know two of them moved farther in country than we do now. I live in the country, but they say I live in the city limits for some reason. But we knew that there was love in this house, which made our home a safe shelter. It's a place that we could go and we could talk to our mothers, our mom, and we could tell them how we was feeling. We could tell them that we needed a refuge, that we needed that shelter, that we needed her to wrap her loving arms around us because we was terrified or we was scared of something. I remember laying in bed one night and my mom woke each one of us up sobbing, crying, sitting at the foot of our bed, and we was like, Mom, what's wrong? And she was like, I had a nightmare that each and every one of y'all died. And she said, I just don't think I can handle that. She was sheltering us there that night. She came into the room and she got to looking to make sure her kids were all still alive. I'm going to a home where she knows she's never going to have to worry about that.
Amen.
I'm going to a home that I'm sheltered from all understanding. I'm talking about I'm sheltered from death. I'm sheltered in the arms of the Lord. She sheltered me when I was a kid. But I found greater sheltering.
Amen.
I found sheltering underneath the arms of the loving God that I serve.
Amen.
I found shelter underneath His wings. I found the greatest peace that I've ever found on the face of this earth when I went home, when I found Jesus, when I found that dwelling place. faith that reached down from generation to generation. I'm talking about this shelter was formed before the mountains raised up. This shelter was formed, Sister Susie, before it formed the foundation of the world.
Amen.
This is a shelter that can't be broken.
That's right, preach it.
A lot of the songs we sung today were about mothers that had passed away. The shelter I'm talking about today will never pass away.
Amen.
I'm 31 years old and she still tries to shelter me to this day.
Amen.
She does. One day my mama might not be sitting back there on the back pew. If the rapture don't happen, I can guarantee you one day she's not going to be here. Say, Brother Josh, how do you know that? Well, listen here, church. The Bible says it's appointed the man that I want.
That's right. Amen.
I say everybody in this room is going to pass away one day if the rapture don't happen.
Amen.
Have you found your shelter? I found shelter in the storm.
Amen.
We was talking about storms and something told me that we need to go to Greensboro and eat dinner the other night. I called my mom and my dad. I said, hey, I'm going to take y'all out to dinner if y'all want to go, if y'all haven't cooked. I said, it's been raining. I said, I ain't going to grill or anything, but if y'all like to go out here, we're going to go grab something from Cracker Barrel real quick. We're going to grab something from Cracker Barrel, and all of a sudden, each one of our phones at one time starts blowing up. Hey, are y'all all right? What's going on over there on Wolf Island Road? Everything fine. What's going on? The person who shelters me told me to get out of where we was at.
That's right.
There was a storm coming through. It missed our house by two houses. You can see where it went through and tore the trees down and knocked everything down. But the only thing that happened in my house was my trash can was flipped over. You know what that was? That was the shelter of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, God is our refuge. He's the place where we run to. You know, when you're a little kid, I see it with Billy all the time. He'll run straight to his mama. His mama better not get out of his sight. Well, he's going to find her. Sometimes as Christians, that's what we got to do. We laugh at it and we think it's funny, but as Christians, we have to do the same thing. When we feel like we're getting out of sight of the Lord, when we feel like we're going astray, when we feel like that we need to give up and throw out, we need to seek refuge in the Lord.
Amen.
And you can ask Billy when he gets older where the safest place he felt as a little boy was. I bet you tells you his mama.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My safest hiding place is in the arms of the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Yours is too. You know, we grow weary. We grow tired. We feel like we can't do anything right. But mamas, your house should be a safe place for your children. For shelter. Yes, there's going to be times where the world wants to persecute them. It will be. I faced 13 years in prison. 13 years in prison. I was facing it right down the barrel. There was nothing I could do. But I had shelter at my mom and dad's house. He said, as long as you're here, nobody's going to bother you. Other than the police. They had no choice but to turn me over to them. They didn't have no place. But they said, as long as you're here, nobody else outside is going to come in here and mess with you.
That's right.
And they meant that. My mom was ready to throw me out on my head. And my daddy said, nah, he needs a place to go. We can't turn him away now. Luckily, I didn't face 13 years in prison. The Lord saw fit for something different. Saw fit for me to stand here today to tell you that I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life, but Jesus can save you from it.
Amen.
He can put that shelter around you and care for you. Jesus is the answer to each one of your problems.
That's right.
Once you find the solution to your problem, He'll supply you peace. I didn't have much peace during that hard time because I just knew that I was going to be facing a lot of time in prison. I got out of it away like most Christians get out of stuff. Lord, if you just help me, I'll start living for Him. Did I start living for Him? No. I didn't. But He let me continue running around doing what I wanted to do. saying what I wanted to say, treating people the way I wanted to treat them, doing whatever I wanted to do. And then one day he got my attention.
That's right.
He said, "You remember that promise that you gave me? You had promised if I got you out of this. About 10 years ago, you made me a promise that if I got you out of this, you was going to start living for me. That you was going to start doing what you were supposed to do." He said, "You didn't do it. Now it's time to do it." Thank God today I done it. Thank God today that he saved this poor, wretched, no good for nothing sinner. But I ain't a sinner no more.
Amen.
I'm a saint saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I found my dwelling place. And in my dwelling place I found peace. A lot of us think we know what peace is, what peace of mind is. Tell you don't know. You don't know anything if you don't know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says that he turned this man to destruction. I was facing my destruction.
That's right.
I was headed down a place on a road that was bound for eternity in hell. To the Savior, we reached down. Me. And he picked me up out of the miry clay, out of that pit, that miry clay. He set my feet upon the solid rock.
That's right, amen.
And he established my goal. You know, there's nothing more trustful than the peace of God.
Right.
You might not understand it, you might not realize it right now. You might not be born again into the family of God. But I promise you this much, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll be able to lay your head down at night and find that sweet peace that only He can bring you. You know why? Because He said there's no poverty with my children, amen. He said you're not going to go without. You know, so many people go without this day and time, and you know where they run? They run back home.
That's right. Amen.
I feel like sometimes taking a grocery basket over to Mom and Daddy's house and just taking all their groceries and bringing it over to my house.
Amen.
But God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory.
That's right.
By Christ Jesus. So when I come over there and take something tonight, just know it's Christ Jesus told me to go over there and get that. But I found the greatest peace in my childhood was at home. It wasn't at friends' house. It wasn't at family's house. It's I could even go spend the night with them. But when I would get done, I would find peace back at home. Some of you may have went astray. Some of you may have went so far out you don't understand or even know how to get back. Well, let me tell you how you get back. You go to Jesus and Jesus will bring you back.
Right, amen.
Because He is peace. I won't spend too much time on that one. I spent enough time on that one last week. Peace. My peace I'll leave unto you.
That's right.
My peace. Not the peace of this world, but His peace. The greatest peace there is known to man is found in the dwelling place of God. You know, before we could find this place of peace and this place of supply, sin had separated us from it. Sin of alcohol, sin of drug abuse, sin of dishonoring parents, the sin of having another God before the only God. I'm talking about the sins of the Bible that teaches us the separation of God. Those are sins. Before we could get to this place of supply, this place of this home, this refuge, this dwelling place that I'm doing my very best to preach on this morning, there was no way back to it.
That's right.
You couldn't get to it. You couldn't find it. Into an old rugged cross.
Amen.
He took my place there. that my needs would be met. Your needs would be met.
Amen.
He took our place there that we could come into this dwelling place freely. A lot of people don't understand, but if you ever read your Bible, you realize sometimes we leave the dwelling place. The 99 sheep, one of them had went astray.
That's right.
And the Lord went and got them. There was a great rejoicing when he brought them back into the sheepfold. The dwelling place is with the Lord. It's a place of enjoyment. Out in the world, there's no true enjoyment. Home is a place of enjoyment.
Amen.
Where you go and you can worship and you can serve Jesus Christ. Where you can go and you can find the truest joys that are found in a home. It's centered around Jesus. Amen. It's centered around what the Lord has you to do. So many people, I'm not a dad, my wife's not a mom. But there's one thing I promise you for certain. When you walk into my home, Jesus is there with us.
Amen.
When you walk out, I hope he walks out with you.
Amen.
It's a dwelling place. It's a place of enjoyment. You know, we come in here, we laugh, and we have a good time all the time. Amen?
Amen.
We enjoy each other's fellowship. Yes.
Amen.
We are a loving church.
Amen.
I like it that way. Stay that way, church.
Amen.
I like it that way. I like we come in, laugh, and joke around with each other. Yeah, sometimes there's some serious moments, and sometimes we might get upset with each other. But that does not mean we should stop coming and enjoying each other's company and fellowship.
That's right, amen.
Because Jesus is in this building.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
The Holy Spirit dwells inside of His church.
Inside of His church.
Inside of His church. Not this building. Inside of this church.
Yes, amen.
You know, He chose me to be a home.
Amen.
He chose me to be a dwelling place.
That's right, amen.
The way he goes up and down these halls, that song y'all sing, there's been a lot of times he's had the right to just up and move out. But he chose to stay.
Amen.
That brings me enjoyment to each other.
Amen.
I tell people all the time, one of my favorite parts of church is before it even starts.
Amen.
Me and the gentleman, we get out here and we get to talking and fellowship, and Kent comes out with some bad joke, we all laugh. That's enjoyment. We enjoy each other's company.
Amen.
And then after church, I get to pick on Amy Race and try to take pictures of her while she runs from me. And say, I'm going home. But it's enjoyment found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm talking about it's the enjoyment that you don't know if you're in the world. Like, I have buddies, they have no idea why I've gone the way I've gone. They don't see me at the bar no more. They don't see me somewhere hanging out where I shouldn't be.
That's right.
I got friends that's been saved, and I don't see them at the dope house anymore. Amen?
Amen.
I don't see them all sitting on the street anymore. You know why? Because they found enjoyment in something else.
Amen.
They found enjoyment in something real. They found enjoyment in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A whole lot better than the bottom of the bottle.
That's right. Amen.
Whole lot better. You know, I don't know much about a lot of things, but I do know one thing. When Peter was walking on water, got distracted by the world, right? Got distracted by the wind. That's what the wind and the rain and the storm represents. Is he got his eyes off of the problem solver and got it on the problem.
That's right.
Y'all remember he failed.
That's right. Amen.
And he surely would have died if Jesus when he lifted him up.
That's right.
But before Jesus lifted him up, he had to call upon the name of the Lord.
That's right, amen.
He had to call, Jesus, save me. And I believe Jesus could have spoken, Peter would have been back on top of the water.
Yes,
but no, Jesus chose to reach down to where he was at and pick him back up.
Amen.
And you never see him back on the water again. But you know where you see him in? You see him in the boat. Rejoicing with one another. When Peter lost him, when Peter lost his way, when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, when Peter decided to go worldly, They didn't laugh at them. They didn't pick on them. They didn't say, oh, Peter, well, you lost your faith. You was walking on the word. You just fell down. Now, you know what they did when they came back? They enjoyed each other's company.
Amen.
Because Jesus was with them.
That's right.
It went, how well, about time you come back. Ha, ha, ha. Where you been so long? I was, come here, welcome back. Come on in the boat.
That's right.
You know what the boat represents? It represents the church.
That's right.
And we are the church. And if we sit there and we push people astray because they went out into the world and we lose our enjoyment when they come back to the house of God, shame on us.
That's right. Amen.
Because home is a place of enjoyment.
Amen.
Home is a place of enjoyment. Always enjoy going home. Sometimes it's not always pleasant when I get there. I'm a little hard on my daddy sometimes. That's what they tell me. But it's a place of enjoyment. It's a place where I love when my sister and my two brothers and their families were all in the same place at one time. Very rarely happens this day and time as we're getting older. But when we're all there, we enjoy each other.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes our spouses might not get along, but guess what? We get along. We get along. You know why? Because we had enjoyment growing up in that house. Let me tell you something real quick. I grew up in a house, most people find this very strange. I slept in the same bed with my three brothers until I was 14, 15 years old. We grew up in a three-bedroom trailer, and we had our little sister. We all got thrown into the same room. This is y'all's room. Keep it clean, which it never was. Thank God for mama. Right? Amen? Thank God for mama. Cole wonders why I'm so messy now sometimes. Ask my mama. She cleaned up after me for 16 years, 17 years. But we enjoyed each other's company. I tell you what, they said they used to turn the TV down and they would listen to how to turn a perfect double play. We talk baseball all the time. We're a baseball family. Anybody knows Grandpa? Brother Ben, we know where we get it from. We're a baseball family. We're in enjoyment to each other. And when we get around and we get to fellowship and we get to laughing and we get to picking around the way we do here, I believe the Lord's in it, church.
That's right, amen.
Because he wants us to enjoy the place where he gives us, where he supplies, where he gives love, where he's our shelter. And the problem with so many Christians that's gone astray is they won't come back because they're scared that enjoyment's not going to be there. For any of y'all watching or going to watch it later or show this to somebody later, let them know one thing. They're always welcome in Friendship Baptist Church. In Danville, Virginia, over there in front of the mental hospital. It's right over there. It's right there. Trust me, I know exactly where it's at. Never been there. I've been in to see people there. Never been in it myself. But lastly, home is a place of rest. How many of you grew tired and weary? Remember going on vacation when you was a little kid and all that driving that you done. Long nights, long days of just driving. And you finally get home. Ain't done nothing but drove. And you're just so tired. Just so tired. You could be going up to the place where you're going and just can't get the rest that you need. Until you start heading back home. And you finally get in your own bed. And you find that rest. Well, let me tell you, a rest is better than your own bed. In the arms of Jesus.
Amen.
Rest in God is perhaps that which many and most people crave. They crave rest, but they go to the wrong school.
That's right.
They crave rest. But don't find it where they're looking for it. Rest is found only in one person.
Amen.
I got a doctor's appointment coming up on the 20th to figure out why I'm not sleeping good enough. I'm up and down, down and up, sideways up, you know, all sorts of stuff all night long. But I find spiritual rest every day.
Amen.
My body might be tired. This old flesh is going to wear out and get tired. My spirit grows weary at times. But I find peace and rest in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some of us have found Him. Some of us know Him. Some of us know this true rest. We trust Him when we're tired. You know, they say that a dog likes to lay beside you when it's tired because you know you're going to protect him. They like to be near you because they know that you are a protection to them. A sheep, when he gets tired, knows that he's going to find rest. I ain't worried about it. Let it rain. He's going to find rest in you. Amen. Thank the Lord. Don't pick it up anyway. You'll find that rest. The Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. All that is our rest. Do you trust the Lord today? That He is your home. That He's your refuge. That you know when life is going weary and life's going away, that you can pick up this precious book and you can find pure peace. You can find pure love. You can find all the things that you need to find. It's found right here.
Amen.
But not only right here, but right here.
Yes.
Amen. On an old-fashioned altar, you can find them. You can find them in that pew you sitting in right there.
That's right.
There was a tradition that started in the church in probably the early 1900s. I was telling a guy at work the other day, I said, you know, so many people think that to find Jesus, I have to kneel down with you and pray with you. Church, that's not biblical. You know what is biblical, though? Philip told them how to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. You know what's biblical? Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved.
That's right.
That's how you find your dwelling place. I tell you, He was here before the mountains were formed.
That's right.
He was here before He formed the world. What is that He told Job? Where was you at when I formed the foundation of the world?
That's right, amen.
Where was you at? You was nowhere to be found, right? You know why? Because He's been the dwelling place from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
I know we don't run a program here. Because God always takes us different directions anyway. We could try to run a program, but I don't think it would ever work. I like the way the Lord led us today.
Amen.
He should be your dwelling place. I know today's Mother's Day, and Brother Kent's right. Your mother's alive. You need to call her. Go see her.
Yes.
I know Cole took her mother out with Friday, Thursday or Friday. One of these days she took her out for Mother's Day. Because Sundays are a little busy on us. But you know, they're alive. You need to call them. There's somebody in this room who wishes they could just pick the phone up and call their mama. And tell them Happy Mother's Day. And tell them how much they love them.
Amen.
If you're like that today, I promise you there's a dwelling place for you. I might not be able to physically help you, but I know someone who can.
Amen.
He's the rock. He's the honey that comes out of the rock. He's the water that came out of the stone. He's the manna that laid upon the ground.
Amen.
And believe me, like the song says, I can't heal a broken heart, but I know a man who can.
Amen.
Maybe you're not close to your mama. Maybe you feel like she's done you wrong. You see what the Bible tells us. To honor our father and our mothers. That our days may be long.
That's right.
It's the first commandment with promise. But I don't care how bad of a mama you think she might have been. There's somebody worse out there.
Amen.
Your mama's still alive today. In fact, if you like her or not, you call her and you tell her you love her. If you're saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you right now, I don't care how bad your mama may have been, you are to forgive her and love her. I talked to a guy one time. It was his dad. It wasn't his mom. I'm going to share this story with him. Y'all come to the altar if you want to. He said, my dad, for 45 years of my life, was never in my life. He said, I didn't even know who he was. He could have walked by me on the street and I would have never known him. I met him. And he said, I didn't want nothing to do with him at first. He said, then I met the Lord. And the first thing the Lord put on my heart was to call my daddy and tell him, I know you wasn't there when I was growing up. I know that you ran away and took off. He said, I want you to know I love you because you are my dad. Sounds hard, don't it? Sounds hard to say something like that. But if you love the Lord, you'll learn to forgive. Or that'll eat you alive. I'm one of the people, I believe, the Lord lays something on your heart, you don't do it, it'll eat you alive till you do it.
That's right.
Let me tell you, if you wait to do it with your mom and your dad, you might not never get the opportunity to do it.
That's right.
Because tomorrow is not promised. If anyone would like to come, you can come.